The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, today is World Autism Day, and a new report from As I Am has found that 7 in 10 autistic people and families say that autism misinformation is rising in Ireland and has increased in the last year. For more on this, we're joined in studio by the charity's CEO, Adam Harris. Adam, thank you indeed for joining us. What type of information are we talking about here?
So I suppose what we have seen in recent times, and the report we've published today captures the voices of over 1,600 autistic people, alongside the attitudes and perspectives of a representative sample of 1,000 Irish adults. And I suppose it's undoubted that awareness of autism has grown greatly in recent years. And indeed, one in four of us now in society say somebody who's close to us, be it a friend or a family member, is autistic. But I suppose there's a gulf between awareness and understanding and acceptance. And in the age in which we've seen, I suppose, a coarsening of attitudes towards diversity and inclusion, as we've seen the growth of things like social media and artificial intelligence, unfortunately, a lot of misinformation is filling that vacuum. And at times what this is leading to is increased stigma around autism, a reluctance on the part of autistic people to share diagnosis, and unfortunately soft barriers emerging in the delivery of public services for autistic people.
Okay. And do we know why this is? What's driving this?
So I think there's a real range of factors. I think part of it is, as a society, we've moved quite quickly from a point in time where very few people had heard of autism to a reality that now 89% of people in our survey report that they've heard of autism. But I don't think what's followed through is the training that we need. So, for example, you can be a teacher in an autism class without any training in autism. You can work in the field of healthcare without having any training and understanding in autism. And certainly if you're someone on the street who's interacting with autistic people every day, you may not have the knowledge that you need. And in that context, what have we seen? We've seen outrageous statements around autism from the Oval Office. We've seen public services often struggle to keep a pace with demand for supports for autistic people, and often as a result, pushing that back on the autism community. And in particular, we have seen worrying trends in terms of artificial intelligence. When I talk to autistic young people today, they tell me that the sort of slurs that we might have heard around the LGBT community in the past, homophobic slurs, we now see that talked about in terms of autism within our school corridors, where it's used as a pejorative term. So all of those factors, I think people have more license to say outrageous things. And I think what we're trying to do with our report is to fill that vacuum with the lived experiences of autistic people. Because very often what all these sources of misinformation have in common is the absence of autistic voices.
Okay. A huge majority, I think it's 96% of those surveyed, supported legislating for a national autism strategy in Ireland. What would that involve?
I think this is really important, and it is a programme for government commitment. I think it's very clear that what we've seen is an enormous demographic shift within our community in recent years. It's now estimated that 1 in 20 children in our school system has an autism diagnosis. We're seeing many more autistic adults access diagnosis, even though there remains no supports in terms of assessment and post-diagnosis for autistic adults. And as a result, while we have a national disability strategy, we believe it's important to put a particular lens on the sorts of challenges autistic people are facing, not just in terms of autism specific services, but actually in terms of how mainstream services work for autistic people as well. The government published a strategy 15 months ago called the Autism Innovation Strategy, which technically expired on the 31st of March, but it has committed to legislate for a permanent strategy. And we think it's really important that the government follow through on that commitment now. And that will include things like public education around autism, breaking down silos in the lives of autistic people, and investing in autism-specific supports and services.
And do you think it's important to have that, you know, copper fastened in legislation in order for those things to happen?
I think that's of absolute paramount importance. I think what we do see in the report, and indeed in the implementation of the Autism Innovation Strategy so far, is good engagement and good interest in this issue. But I think at times in Ireland, we really struggle with implementation. And if we struggle with implementation on matters that are legislated for, implementation is all too often non-existent for non-statutory commitments. But we're also seeing in political systems around the world that very quickly the pendulum can swing, and there can be a coarsening of attitudes towards minority groups. And that's why statutory rights and protecting the rights of autistic people is more important now than ever.
Okay. Can I just very finally, Adam, can I just ask you about that UK-based independent review into the prevalence and support for mental health conditions, ADHD and autism? It it said, and there was a huge amount in it, and it did say, you know, there was credible evidence of increasing psychological distress, and obviously behind a recent rise in mental health diagnosis. But it also did talk about normal difficulties being increasingly being interpreted primarily through a medical lens and an over-diagnosis. I'm just curious, what was your reaction to that report?
So I think I was reviewing the report myself and also looking at the response of my colleagues in the National Autistic Society in London. And I think what they have been really clear in saying is that the one thing that the report is actually conclusive of, even at this interim phase, is that actually education and health supports within the UK system are failing autistic people. And that too often there has been a tendency on the part of the system to push that failure back on autistic people and second guessing why people are seeking diagnosis. I think we need to separate out two discussions here. The central value that autistic people place on diagnosis, and that comes through clearly in our report today as well. Autistic people don't just seek diagnosis to access supports. They seek it in terms of finding their tribe, being able to self-advocate, gaining an understanding of oneself. What we then need to look at is within the communities that we have, what are the range of supports that are available? And we know that in systems across the world, including here in Ireland, we have very siloed and very limited supports available to all autistic people. And what we now need to see is a great expansion. And of course, what that means is in this area of autism acceptance, of inclusion, autism acceptance must be followed through with substantial public investment if we're serious about it.
Okay, and so like that line, that specific line, and I accept it was a very wide and broad-ranging report, but the line, I think they said there was an institutional incentive to seek a mental health diagnosis. Do you reject that line?
Do you think that was... And I'd make two important points here. So the UK system and how supports are delivered are substantially different to Ireland, where we predominantly don't require diagnosis for the delivery of support. So that's point number one. But I think also point number two that is important is the context in which people are coming forward for a diagnosis has changed greatly in recent years. And indeed, what the National Disability Authority here in Ireland published a paper on autism prevalence at the end of last year. And its most important conclusion is there is no evidence of overdiagnosis here in Ireland.
Okay, well, look, thank you indeed for joining us on World Autism Day. CEO of As I Am, Adam Harris, thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.